Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Most of Missouri is still experiencing extreme drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, and that's affecting not only crops, but wildlife. KBIA's Gina Cook reports on how the drought is affecting an important source for recreation and food in Missouri.
It's been a while since Jeff Lampe turned on his windshield wipers, but even on a rainy day like this, it's easy to see the toll the drought has taken on his land.
All of those brown stalks over there, those are all blackberries, and normally we harvest, you know, anywhere from 25 to 30 gallons of blackberries out here.
This year, Lampe only got 8 gallons. But harvesting blackberries isn't his biggest worry. Lampe is worried this year's drought will affect what he grows those blackberries for, hunting deer. Lampe, a recreational hunter, maintains nearly 600 acres of land in Rocheport, Missouri, with foods like berries and alfalfa to attract and feed deer. And with hunting season fast approaching, there's not much for the deer to feed on. A plot of clover Lampe planted early this year looked promising. That is, until the drought struck.
It was probably 8 to 10 inches tall, and it stopped raining, and now it's just a brown mat.
Emily Flynn, a deer biologist with the Missouri Department of Conservation, says many of these hunting food plots are struggling.
The thing about food plots is that they're a great supplemental nutritional resource for deer, but in years like this, when deer really need them, they often fail.
With no food, Lampe says he's using trail cameras beyond his food plots to track deer movement patterns. But for Lampe, tracking their movements is also rooted in yet another threat brought by the drought, episodic hemorrhagic disease, or EHD.
We found all three of these deer near a small pond, all near the same pond, and one of them was a very nice mature buck, another was a young buck, and another doe.
All three were infected with EHD. Lampe says the hardest part of discovering the deer is watching a good harvest go to waste.
You manage these deer for so many years. For example, that deer we'd watched since he was one, and now he was 4.5. And so we'd watch this deer and passed on him in years past, out of the bow stand or out of the gun stand. And it's neat to watch these deer grow up and become mature.
Conservation officer Sean Ernst received Lampe's call about the deer. Ernst says he's gotten about a dozen calls like Lampe's recently reporting deer carcasses found near bodies of water.
Generally, in these years where, you know, ponds are low and bodies of water, creeks that typically have water, don't have water, wildlife are gathering around the same little watering holes.
Ernst says when more deer gather around the same bodies of water, the danger of transmitting EHD increases. According to Emily Flynn, constantly drinking water is one symptom of the disease. This happens when deer get a fever after contracting EHD from a midge or fly. She says there have been at least 15 cases in Boone County, but other counties in Missouri are seeing a lot more. Osage County, for example, has at least 124 reported cases of EHD. Flynn says deer are a huge resource for Missouri, bringing in over $1 billion a year and providing about 12,000 jobs.
They're a huge economic resource as well as recreational resource for Missourians, and we just want to do our best to protect the resource.
To protect the deer on his land, Lampe is relying on the alfalfa growing outside his house. It's the only food that's grown well despite the drought. He says you just can't predict Mother Nature.
Sometimes you lose some.
The Missouri Department of Conservation and Lampe are hoping for an early frost, which would kill the midge that carries the disease and stop it from spreading. Gina Cook, KBIA News.
And now, we'll hear a story from My Farm Roots. That's a series from Harvest Public Media that showcases stories and memories of rural life as told by farmers. Aaron Traister is a farmer that lives in north central Nebraska. He's pretty young, almost 30, but he's lived most of his life on the farm. After graduating from college with a degree in chemistry, Traister returned back home. Reporter Hillary Stose Krause spoke to Traister and produced this profile.
I'm Aaron Traister. I live in O'Neill, Nebraska. That's north central Nebraska. I live with my wife Jennifer, daughter Julia, and newborn baby Barrett. Yeah, all through grade school, I remember I wanted to farm, and then I went to college and had a few different ideas, but I came back here. I went to Creighton University in Omaha, and I have a chemistry degree, and I did apply for med school for a year, and I got on a wait list, but I never did apply again. While I was applying to med school, I was back here helping on the farm and just learned to like it more, and I was getting married, so it's kind of a good time to come back and settle down. The management's been getting so much easier. You have computers and the internet. The tractors run off GPS, and they can just drive a perfectly straight line within an inch. Even these systems, you can upgrade them to, so you can check them on your iPhone or computer at home. That's becoming a lot more popular. Yeah, my dad hasn't adapted the technology yet. We first got the tractors with the auto steer so they could drive themselves when I came back, and I don't think he would have if I would not have chosen to come back to farm. So he kind of takes a step up and buys that stuff to help out. Where I understand it, it really does help out. Well, it's just been almost like a panic all season long, just making sure your irrigation systems are running just all the time, because even with them running, the crop's starving for water and the yield's getting hurt, so if the irrigation systems are stopped, you just have to get them going right away, no matter what it takes. I guess I'm only 29, but it's the worst I've seen, and the old timers, they talk about it as bad as much they've seen since 56. I guess it just makes a lot of work out of things.
Reporter Hillary Stose Krause produced that profile for the Harvest Public Media series, My Farm Roots. This month, the University of Missouri Hospital and local health professionals are taking part in National Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month. Although there are ways to combat sickle cell disease, such as through blood transfusions or bone marrow transplants, there currently is no cure. Elizabeth Gagne is the Pediatric and Adult Sickle Cell Nurse Coordinator at MU Children's Hospital. She says sickle cell research has done a lot to minimize the negatives of the disease, and that patient education is a key component in surviving.
The most important prevention is knowledge, and the knowledge of whether or not you have sickle cell trait or another type of abnormal hemoglobin prior to having children is important to make an educated decision and to find out if your child, mother, or father has any of those traits also.
Currently, hospitals in the U.S. are required to screen newborns for sickle cell disease. And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. To hear this episode and others, just head to our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.